2004 Labor Day Conference in Cleveland, Ohio, with Brother Titus Chu. The Divine and Mystical Realm in Colossians. Christ, the Person of the Divine Mystical Realm. Message 5.
Now we come to the last message. This is a very relaxed message. If all the previous message make you tired, now you can be very restful. In the airplane, the pilot will say, now sit back and whatever the word is, and relax. But don't go to sleep. You know why? This whole meeting, on the first part, it does have something as a struggling. Then you come to the operation, you can see Paul operated, struggled, soberly, fervently, in difficulty, yet with all the co-workers. And that is a very sweet item. So let's come to this message now. The total topic, general topic, is that Christ, a person of the divine mystical realm. Now finally, we come to a person, Paul. This very apostle fully experienced the reality of taking Christ as a person, to have the reality of walking, living, operating, working, struggling, fighting in this divine mystical realm. So, message 5. The Lord's servants filled up the lack of the affliction of Christ in his own flesh. This is not easy to understand. In other words, why are you here for? You are here to make up whatever Christ has not able, Christ was not able to do by himself. Therefore, with the marvelous, complete work of, redemptive work of Christ, in building up the church, he needs someone, some servants, to fill up the lack of Christ. In what way? In his afflictions. Christ suffered to produce the church. Therefore, Christ desires that we suffer to raise up, to build up the church. Christ's suffering produced the church organically. We suffer, build up the church in life with the maturity of the saints. Brothers, this is not our concept. Our concept, either Christ is merely a savior, or Christ has accomplished everything. We don't have to do a thing, just sit back and relax. However, brother, here it says, Paul testified, that in me I may fill up the lack of the afflictions of Christ in my, that's Paul's, own flesh. By what? By taking Christ as a person. Now we come real fast, because we need a lot of time to come to stories which are interesting. Point one, what is the principle of Paul's writing? Number one, he's very clear who he is. Don't think this is a simple statement. In this room, if there are 600-700 people, I tell you, possibly very few people know who am I, why am I here. Most of us still are searching for our existence. The good news, I tell you, I see more young people come to these kind of conferences now. That is really encouragement, right? This is an issue or outflow of that mountaintop. I'm happy young people are here, and they have the endurance, the lasting till the last meeting, even sit on the floor. Praise the Lord for this. Well, brother, you realize that? Even you are so zealous, you really love the Lord now. I'm not quite sure you know why are you here. In this room, there are a group of brothers, young girl, like your dad. Your dad can read verse 1. I'm a servant of Christ Jesus, through the will of God. I know why I am here. Oh, don't think this is a light thing. Many people spend their whole life to find out where is their existence, and realizing that existence is having high value. I look at the property. I saw a property. Of course, it's not ready for us to see it yet. Huh? 50 acres with a beautiful log house, built 6 years. Then they want to sell it. Then the realtor told me, he said, well, they go through divorce. And he had skin cancer. And now he's doing plastic surgeon, just has operated. Now he's doing, I just had a feeling 6 years ago when he built the house with his quote-unquote dear wife. Do you get my point? They found life, 50 acres with 27 acres of woods, right in the midst of nowhere, yet not far away from restaurants, from stores. Isn't that a dream place? And the log house is beautiful. I believe the husband will talk with his wife, honey, isn't that marvelous? The wife will talk with his husband, isn't it marvelous? 6 years later, nothing exists besides some money left to be divided. You know, brothers, do you realize? Very few people are blessed as we are. Don't look down at the guys, at those uncles or granduncles. You know, we can be your granduncle now, right? Uncles or granduncles sit in the front. They can give a testimony. Who are we? We are the servant of Christ Jesus through the will of God. We know our existence. Amen. We know why we live on this earth. We know why we live this kind of life. We know why we struggle in this way. We know why we're fighting in this manner. Because we are one with the will of God. Then what? Caring for the churches and coordinating with co-workers. Brother, it is good. Last night we shared, right? What is a church life? When you put on the church life, what you put on is your protection. What you put on is your limitation. What you put on is your testimony. Remember what I say? I forgot to say protection. Actually, what you have is protection too. And whatever you put on become your limitation. That's why Jimmy Young is my limitation. And I am Jimmy's limitation. For how long? 40 years already. Any suit will be given up already. Do you get my point? No matter what kind of material that is, even fur coat will be thrown away already. 40 years. But I'm still putting on the old brother. Well, I was put on a young brother, right? And this old brother still put on another old brother. And this older brother, Jimmy Young, still suffering to Titus. And Titus is still more a suffering to Brother Young. Oh, praise the Lord. Therefore, we can say, we care, Jimmy and I can declare together, we care for the churches and coordinating with one another. Because we put on the church life. And more than that, taking God's will as a center of our operation. Why are we here? We are here. Only care for God's will. Amen. You know, among us, it's easy for us to begin to say, if I just do a little bit of this, everything will be fine. If I just will do a little bit of that, everything will be fine. Brother, my IQ is not 165 as Brother He Wei's son. But I'm not stupid. You see that, right? Don't you believe I know how to make everybody happy? Brother, I'm a literature major. A literature major basically is no shape. They can do anything. That's why they're majoring in literature. It's not engineer. Engineer is not changeable. I'm right, like Paul Nider. I mean, he's an engineer. He wants to get a job. Nobody can tell him quit it. A literature major quit it way back. Do you know that? You know, brother, but one thing I'm impressed with myself, with my operation, for some reason, when God's will becomes so clear as a controlling element of your labor, there's no politics can be involved. You cannot do things just to make people happy. You cannot just say things just to make people happy. Whatever the Bible says, whatever, however the Bible teaches, however the Bible expounds, however we have received from Brother Watchman Nee, from Brother Lee, according to the Bible, that they all has to be the reality of our living and of our labor. So our labor in principle is taking God's will as the center of operation, yet we are not for teachings or doctrines or even the best revelations. All the revelations, teachings, all the things God has unveiled to us is for the last point, taking the son's growth as his commitment. We are here for you to grow. Young sister, I'm happy you grow up now. How old are you now? 15? Huh? 14 now. You know, 2 years ago, when I asked your dad if you would pick up the burden to move to Columbus, that's your dad, right? This is your dad, right? You know what is my concern? My concern is, how about his daughters? His daughters, you know, just have some buddies, friends. Do you get my point or not? And all of a sudden, her dad is going to tell her, we are going to Columbus. To do what? To serve the Lord. Who told you to go? Brother, the Lord has led me. No, not the Lord. Titus told you to go. Because when you are little, do you get my point? You have no idea. What is that? But right or wrong, sister, I'm so happy you grow. You know, when I see you here, we see me such a joy that a little girl now become a present, a precious, decent, young sister. At the age young, only 14, yet here, standing with the church, supporting the Lord's testimony. What is that? That is, you grow. You know how much you need to grow? Is it physically at the 14? Am I right? Girl do not grow too. Girl is fully grown physically, 18 or something. Boy is 20-something. Am I right? Of course, if you want to stretch yourself every night, you can stretch your, you know, then you'll possibly be taller. But anyway, you still need to grow physically, at least another 4 or 5 years, to come your full stature, maybe as tall as your mom and dad, or maybe even taller. You know, spiritually, young girl, you have a long lifelong growth for you to become mature. Brother Musselman. And brother, young muscle man, you two little muscle man. You know, brother, you two brother, do you realize you love the Lord now? You love the church now. And the serving ones here is struggling for what? That you would grow unto maturity. For this, in living and labor. For this, Paul says, I therefore labor. What is his labor? Number one, I want to satisfy God's desire. Number two, I want to fulfill the word of God. Number three, I want to labor practically to the saints. So in every servant of the Lord's labor, there are the three aspects. Number one, what Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ want. Second, what the Bible says. Number three, what is the saints need. No one, no one can work more than this. For instance, I'll give you an illustration. For you brothers' comfort, the brothers here spend a lot of money for you to be comfortable. So they rent the buses, and I don't know what's happened, but anyway, I was told there's a lot of money expended. So they talk with me. We talk together and say, well, we have 18,000, our large bills coming in, and we will not be able to pay the next month. I told the brother, I said, brother, next year, just realize we're in a poor family, and the brothers do not have to be that comfortable. You got three policemen in the exit, and you got to pay them, right? And you got bus vans, you got to pay them. Whatever you got to pay them. So next year, no more any of this. We all walk to the meeting. Because we don't care about comfortable. We care for our growth. We care for Lord's desire. But this year, you need to offer. Take care of the expense. Do I make sense to you? Yeah, because this is there already. But on the other hand, let me say this. We should care for the Lord's desire. How do we care? Number one, fill up the lack of the comfortableness of Lord Jesus Christ in the air conditioning room. But that's your thought. How can I meet if there's no air condition? Brother, Lord Jesus doesn't even know what is air conditioning, where he was on this earth. Do you get my point? And the Lord Jesus doesn't even know what is called bottled water. Is that English? Bottled water, bottled water, water bottle, whatever. Lord Jesus doesn't even know what is called what's aster and wool and cotton put together become a real soft material. When you put it on, you feel so comfortable. Brother, all these are not with the Lord. The Lord says, I became a man. I incarnated. I, as a very God, came into a man to become a real man. And I suffer all my life. For how long? For all my life, 33 years, until finally I'm crucified on the cross. I have a heartburst. You know, the Bible was much more nicer. He was born in a manger. Brother, these are Christianity. He was not born in the manger. He was born on the roadside and put in the manger. Could you believe in that? He was born on the roadside. Then, of course, after the baby is born, they got to find a place. They found a manger not far away, maybe the first building they saw. So he was put in the manger. He has a much more suffering birth than we realized. He grew up gradually, I believe. He didn't, you know, the first day he was born, he didn't say, right? I think he was just like all the other baby boy cry first. No, he didn't, when he was born, he says, Mom, I'm coming here as a son of God to be your savior. I believe he said it. They don't know what's happened, right? They will be scared. He's so normal. But you know the suffering? At the age of 5, 6, he realized, I'm very different with everybody. At the age of 10, he realized, there's something so genuine of God. At the age of 12, he realized, I am really the son of God. So he began to ask those teachers, right? And they ask questions, they answer, he asks questions, they answer. And they give him all the doctrines, but they don't know the Savior. And when the mother came, that's, to me, I couldn't believe it. The mother came, son, you know that, where have you been? Your mother, your dad and I come here with worrisomeness, something like that. And he answered, Mom, don't you know I have to care of the things of my father's house? In other words, from now on, please don't bother me. Leave me alone. Don't you know who I am? But he suffered. He suffered by going back with the mom and become a carpenter. The best thing is, not one piece of artwork he produced left. Well, he was a carpenter, right? He must produce a lot of things. Not all those things were made by God himself. Through the human hands. They all worth multi-million dollars a piece. And many, many halls can be built, whosoever found the table built by Jesus. But whatever that is, nothing left. You know, he didn't make one part and carve in the bottom, handmade by God. But he should, right? Isn't this handmade by God? He can easily say, handmade by God. Please keep it. Forever until my coming back again. No, I mean, he just lived a life nobody knows, nobody understands, nobody appreciates, nobody honors, nobody give him the proper reverence, yet he took it as, this is my life. Amen. I work as a carpenter for how many years? 18 years. Sister Wang, to my age, 18 years is very short. Do you know how long you've been on this earth? That long already, right? You were in Iowa, you were in Cleveland, you live in different houses, now you end up in Columbus, and you are still in junior high, right? Going to be senior high, something like that. You're in high, you say, oh, you finally get into high school. Only 14 years. And the Lord Jesus just worked on carpentry for 18 years. What a suffering. Then finally he came up, introduced by a wild introducer. The one who has a close abnormal. Right? Camel. And then he never eat the right food. But honey. Locust. Brother, a man eats locust. Would you listen to him? He should be locked up in the institution. Locust and honey. And then one day he was there, saw Jesus came. They're relatives. They know each other. They're relatives. So he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Brother, that what a shame. I mean, you give a Bible, you like it. Would you like to be introduced like that? I like to be introduced by a brother like Jim Risky. This is our dear brother, Titus. Bill, could I tell you a story? One day I went to see Bill. He has an executive office in a top building, in a big building. I think it's Sears Tower, right? It's an executive office in Sears Tower. And I went to see him. Now, of course, I'm okay. I dress properly. And the young brother also went to see him. And young brother dressed up sloppy because he drives me over. Then Bill looked at him and says, oh, I don't know if I can let you to be in my office. Remember that story? Then he said, okay, come in. Brother, if you want to be introduced, you got to be introduced by a king, right? He should be introduced by a king, shouldn't he? The king should say, oh, the Savior of the universe is here. Behold, the Lamb of God. But he was introduced by a wild, wild person. Do not even have a residence. Do not have proper clothes. Never how to eat proper food. And this person began to say, behold, the Lamb of God. If I were him, I would say, shut up. I don't need a person like you to introduce me. I need somebody educated. No, brother, I don't have to go to the story that his whole life is nothing but suffering. He suffered incidents after incidents after incidents. Of course, finally, he died for us on the cross. That is the peak, the top of his suffering. In that, he accomplished the redemptive work and in resurrection. And he beget us all to be the body, or to be his body, to be the church. Now the Lord says, this is my road. This should be your road. Amen. This is my pathway. This should be your pathway. If my life is like this, your life cannot be different with me. That's why before he was on this earth, he said this. He's a student. Cannot be greater than his teacher. A servant cannot be greater than his master. The most, they're equal. Do you know what does that mean? That means I have no place to go. You should have no place to go. If I have not much to eat, you should have not much to eat. If I live a suffering life, now let me tell you all, with you, I want to work through you to fill up the lack of the affliction of Christ in the church. So this is for Lord's desire. So first one, suffering on behalf of all the saints. Brother, do you realize? If you want to grow, your dad suffered. And if you want to grow, Dale Martin suffered. And if you want to grow, what's the other brother's name? Ian. Ian suffered. If you want to grow, Roy suffered. Well, already four big shots suffer. And if you want to grow, whole church, how to suffer. Are you in how to? Toronto, how to suffer. If you really want to develop, I tell you, if you don't grow properly, the suffering end up right over there. That's it. You suffer. If you really become developed, I suffer too. So many brothers says, oh, Titus, I give you headaches. I usually say I'm very happy about it because now finally there's somebody can be one with me to have headaches together. Amen. Brother, what is your life? When you care for Lord's desire, you realize your life is to suffer on behalf of the saints. Then secondly, have all things for the body of Christ, which is the church. I do everything for the body of Christ. Brother Lee has a very strong footnote here. A footnote concerning this particular verse. He said, Brother Lee said, notes in this way. He said, Paul is there not for a certain kind of teaching. If you can find the note, sorry, I forget my Bible. Then I didn't bring my Bible. Then I pick up a Bible from a brother. Then I found out this is both Old and New Testament. I have a copy like this. It's really good. So you can bring the recovery version, not as heavy, just like other books, right? Bibles. Because it doesn't have notes. You see? Very good recovery version. You should get a copy. But feel free to use others too. But should get a copy. This is a very good translation. Then, did you find that note? Yeah, could you, whosoever find, can you read it? It says not teaching. Pardon? 25:1. Can you read it real loud?
Referring to the church in the preceding verse, indicating that Paul became a minister.
Okay, Paul became a minister.
Not of a certain teaching.
Not of a certain teaching. Remember that. What?
Preaching.
Not of certain preaching. Then what?
Or mission work.
Or not of certain mission work.
But of the church.
But he's minister. He became a minister for the church. Thank you. Thank you. It's good enough. Oh, when I read this, I feel how clear is Brother Lee. It's too easy for us to be for a certain teaching, a certain preaching, a certain missionary work, and ignored. As a servant of the Lord, we only care for the church. Then, next point. Fulfilling the stewardship in the hope of glory. Remember we said the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ, and the mystery of stewardship. What the word stewardship means? Stewardship, the Greek word is oikonomia. From God's side, you translate to economy, the mystery of God's economy. From our side, you translate that word into stewardship, the mystery of my operation in God's economy. So fulfilling his operation, God's economy, in the hope of glory. Number one, become a serving one of the church. Minister actually is deacon, same word as deacon. So I become a serving one. Then what? Complete the revelation of the word of God. If I would share anything, if I would minister anything, if I would say something, that is complete the revelation of the word of God according to the mystery hidden from the ages and from the generations. A servant of the Lord, even though the Bible is completed, but the servant of the Lord, every time he ministers, he's completing what God has spoken. Do you get my point? And more than that, fulfilling, substantiating, fulfilling the word of God according to Christ who operates in him. Not only objectively completing the revelation, even subjectively fulfilling it. This is why that same verse, recovery version translated into complete the word of God, right? King James Version translates fulfill the word of God. Why? Because the very Greek word has both sides. It can be objectively completing. It can also mean subjectively fulfilling. Brother, many times we hear a lot of messages and we even repeat this message to complete it. But not many saints fulfill it. Whatever I heard, that should be my reality. Amen. Do you get my point? That means fulfilling the word of God. Then point C, being a person, announce Christ and only Christ. He said, announce Christ in all wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the issue of the operating, enjoyable spirit. When the spirit's operating, it's very enjoyable. Then what? Wisdom coming in. And then, so when I do something, right? Then, where is that? Being, I become a person. Announce Christ, another Christ in all wisdom. I take care of my spirit. In my spirit, there's issue come out. Give me wisdom to know how to help, how to meet the sins or the church's need. Number two, struggling according to operation, which operates in him in power. There's something within him, powerful, like a dynamo. This dynamo operates in him, then he struggles according to this dynamo. In other words, only Lord as dynamo is not adequate. Yet without the dynamo, you can't do a thing. If you operate, because the Lord operates in you, and that operation is dynamic. That dynamic operation produces you to be an operator. Then what? Laboring that all the saints may grow unto maturity. So admonishing each and every man and teaching each and every man. Okay, this is the most discouraging part in the Bible. Why? I like to see that, huh? I therefore labor, struggling according to the operation that operates in me in power, right? Therefore, I hold conferences. Therefore, I give messages. Therefore, I make church decisions. Therefore, I carry the Lord's flow. Therefore, I decide what the saints' future should be. Therefore, I tell the saints how they should live. Brother, nobody wants to be with every man. Once you're with every man, you're with all the headaches, because every man's name is a headache giver. They're not aspirins. They're not Tylenols, ibuprofen. Their existence gives you a headache. Young sister, you know what I'm talking about? Are you from, where are you from?
Chicago.
Do you give Jim Risky headaches? I tell you, it's interesting. The Bible says, Paul says, I therefore labor. So our thought is, yeah, go to a place, raise up a church. I therefore labor. That's right. Get the church together. Have a conference. I therefore labor. Yeah, train the elders. I therefore labor. Oh, that's right. Write the book, spiritual books. Paul says, I therefore labor. Because I labor, I go to every man. Amen. What's your name?
Lizzie.
Huh?
Lizzie.
Lazy?
Elizabeth.
Sorry, come on, come on. Sorry, I shouldn't have said it. You are a sister. I should be. Come on. Oh, here's, how do you say your name? Lessie?
Liz.
Les. Oh, Liz. Sorry, that le, we Chinese don't know how to pronounce it. So you have to, Elizabeth is okay. Liz is okay, whatever. Huh? I therefore labor. When I see her, wow. The coming Madame Guillaume. I mean that. Wow. Maybe this is another Sister Barber. Through her, there could be another Watchman Nee. Therefore what? All of a sudden, she become so precious to my sight. I want to labor so she know the truth. I want to labor so she know life. I want to labor so she can function and operate. I want to labor so she can grow. So I begin to tell her, sister, where are you from?
Toledo.
Another Toledo? Okay. Are you a second generation?
Yeah.
You are. You look like a second generation.
It's my dad.
Oh, Gilbert.
Yeah.
Gilbert's daughter. Yeah. Okay. You are young, sister. You should read the Bible. Am I right? And every time you read the Bible, you should be able to touch the Lord. Am I right? And every time you touch the Lord, through the Bible, the Lord should speak to you, right?
Amen.
And that you should be a person filled with inspirations, right?
Amen.
And the Lord should become your strength every day, right?
Amen.
And out of strength, you begin to preach the gospel, and oftentimes you'll get people saved, right?
Sometimes.
Because you are so inspired in the church meeting, you should give life, right?
Amen.
And among the young people, you should uphold them, right? And that you should become a blessing to the younger ones, right? Amen. And you should be a comfort to the older ones, right? Amen. And the church with you is very blessed, right?
Amen.
Pardon? Everything's so good. I say right, he say amen. I say right, he say amen. Only get people saved because that is, you got to show it. Not easy, right? So next time I met him, oh, dear sister Elizabeth, praise the Lord. Oh, since I met you 2 weeks ago, which part of the Bible you read?
I'm about to start at the beginning. Me and my friend are going to try and read through the Bible together.
She said, just about to begin. Praise the Lord. So it means this 2 weeks. Right? Okay. When will begin?
Genesis.
No, when?
When?
Uh-huh.
When I get back to Toledo.
So tomorrow or today, right? Okay. So next time, 2 weeks later, I meet her again. Hi, Sister Elizabeth. I have 2 weeks. What did you read? Oh, we read from Genesis 1 to chapter 25. Okay. Ah, are you very inspired? Oh, yeah. What are you inspired? I'm inspired that Adam's short of one rib. I say, how did you find it? Because that rib was used to build Eve. That's why Adam shot a rib. You know, I found out the medical saying that everyone can take one rib out, become the base of rebuild himself. Clone, right? Everyone, because everyone can be short of a rib. Adam lived 800 some years without a rib. So no problem, praise the Lord. I'm going to study medicine. I'm going to be a physician, research physician. I'm going to invent a cloning ability to every man when they were born will take a rib off to rebuild himself. Eventually, if he needs transplant, no problem. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know that now you know what is struggle. And you laugh, right? That's how you read the Bible, though. Many times, so many things come out so funny. Am I right? Thank you, sister. The struggling is on every man. Give a message is very easy. I give a message. I give 5 messages already. So everybody go home. Praise the Lord. We enjoy the good conference. And afterwards, so what? We're going back to our real world. Do you understand what I mean, real world? If those who get a job go back to work, those study going back to study, those doing research go back to research, those who cook go back to cook, those whatever. We become very practical, we go back to our real world. How about the Christ you received? Oh, the Christ we received for some reason, you know. Yeah, well, just this morning, but seems to be so remote. Do you have that experience? This is what Paul says, huh? I labor the what? Struggling. According to operation, then admonishing each and every man, teaching each and every man with intention. Come on. Sorry, Elizabeth. Come on. That I would present Elizabeth here, full grown in Christ.
Amen.
Wow. I don't know who has the patience to do these kind of things. You know how much frustration I'm going to be confronting with this dear sister? You know what I mean, Gilbert? I'm all right. No doubt she's a decent, nice girl. No doubt about that. With Ben's your brother, right?
Yeah.
With a brother like Ben, you got double protection. Praise the Lord for that. But even that, when she's so nice, we say, why are you not aggressive? When she's aggressive, why can you be a little bit conservative? When we preach the gospel day and night, would you read the Bible? When you read the Bible day and night, would you go out? When you function in the meeting, you speak too long. When it doesn't function in the meeting, you don't do anything at all. You're dead. He got frustrated too. What do you want me to do? Oh, the church life is a long-suffering life. Why? Because we want to present every man full grown in Christ. Thank you. This full grown, Brother Lee says, indicate perfection in quality. You look at him, filled with human virtue. According to the divine attributes she has, indicate completion in quantity. She's so full. More than that, both aspects are produced by taking Christ as an element of the divine life. Now, Paul function. How does he function? Now, Paul gave us 10 full-timers. Not full-timer, huh? Yeah, 10 full-timers. He gave us 10 full-timers to show you, if I function, I would function with others together. I'm not a Robin Hood. Do you know who's Robin Hood? Huh? Don't you have a guy called the Robin Hood? With a good sword, right? Born, right? All by himself, isn't it? Oh. Pardon? He has what? Oh, that's no good, no good. So I'm not a... I'm not Lone Ranger. Many Christians like to be Lone Ranger, right? I'm going to place, I'll raise up a church, I'll raise up brothers. Eventually, out of me, once I got a letter with a picture. It's a young full-timer wrote to me. And he's a Chinese, but he's very American. With a picture, with a big stone carved with a certain locality name. He stand by the stone. And on the picture, he said, the memory of pioneering in this city. So you know what? He went to the train station. There's a stone there. So to show this is that city, right? Then he wrote me. He says, Titus, I'm going to learn from you. And you were first in Cleveland, then Ohio, then what? I'm going to be firstly in this city, then I'll be in a certain county, then I'll be in the whole island of Taiwan, eventually I'll operate in the whole world. I said, brother, I never was first Cleveland. I was first in Pittsburgh, then was in Akron, then I was in Cleveland, then, brother, I never even saw then Ohio. I only know every man. But quickly, that man, you see the letter? I'm going to come to this locality. Then I'm going to raise up this church. Then out of this church, I'm going to raise up many churches in that county. Then out of that county, I'm going to take over Taiwan. Then out of Taiwan, I'm going to take over the whole globe. I didn't write back because I don't know how. I had a feeling if I write him back, says, Dear Hopeless, your brother Titus, he will be so discouraged. If I write him, praise the Lord, I stand with you. I can't. The whole thing is wrong. If you want to operate, you got to operate with brothers. Not only Paul is so, even your young girl should be so. Amen. Where are you from? Then how come you two sit together? That's very good, huh? And you are from Toledo. You know, brother, you are, where are you from? Toledo. You know, brother, you're all from Toledo, huh? You're all from Toledo. That is very good, huh? So if you labor, you labor all together. Amen. Brother Gilbert, am I right or not? They all labor together. Now, everyone have to say, I have 10 co-workers. Paul says, I have 10 co-workers. And most crucial one is Timothy. And that stupid Titus forgot about him. You don't know, right? Our outline's interesting. After you finish the outline, I was reading the outline last night. I said, where's Timothy? Because verse 1, right? Paul and Timothy. The first one's Timothy. Why? Because everyone who serves, who operates, needs a son. If you don't have a son, you never operate well. Let me ask you, do you have a son? No. I like Tony. And Tom, how do you think? Tony has sons. Am I right? But I don't know he really loved them that much. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Ben, so do you have a son? You say, but I'm only 12. Then pick up somebody. What does a son mean? Come on. What does a son mean? Brother Gilbert, don't get jealous. Huh? This is only spiritual. That is wherever I go, my son follows me. Whatever I do, my son observes me. Whatever I operate, my son watches. Do you get my point or not? One day, I see a brother, Fred Bremnan, walking with his father, Dale Bremnan. I can't believe it. In the back, they two look like just the same. Oh, I said, how come these two are that much alike? They both have a hammer, you know, in the back. On this side is a wrencher, but this side is a hammer, this side is some other tool in the go. Same step, same gesture, same move. Oh, I say, oh, Lord Jesus, that is Paul and Timothy. Amen. You know, brother, in serving, number one is someone should be so close to you. So what? He learned your person. He learned your teaching. He learned your commitment, and they labor accordingly. We don't have time to expound on him. It's too much. But remember that. Have a son. If you don't have a son, there's something wrong. Do you get my point or not? Have a son. Then I tell you, young brothers, have a spiritual father. Have a spiritual older brother. If you don't have a spiritual older brother, if you don't have a spiritual father, you cannot go proper either. You need to have a life relationship with someone who is so close to you. So what? So you treat him as your genuine son. If you are younger, you treat him as your genuine brother. With what? Then he learned from you of your person. He learned from you of your teaching. He learned from you of your commitment. Then he labored accordingly. Remember, when Paul's writing to Timothy, he stressed these things. You are my genuine son. You have learned my teaching. You have learned my labor. You have learned my person. He says, whatever you learn of me, practice. In other words, you have learned my person, right? You have learned my commitment. Therefore, Timothy operates. Whether Timothy is up to standard or not, that's another matter. Tell you honestly, if I were Apostle Paul, I would not pick up Timothy. He's a professional loser. He is. He knows nothing but cry. He cried. I'm sorry. He's a servant of the Lord. Maybe I'm too much. I remember Paul says, oh, when I pray for you. I remember your tears. I get bothered. Remember Titus' tears, okay. Because I'm emotional. How come Timothy is also so emotional? And well, I'm just a servant of the Lord. And Paul is charging him to continue his ministry. Do you get my point? I tell you, then he's a coward. This part. He gets scared. So, Paul keep on reminding him, right? Do you remember the power? God has not given off a spirit of cowardness. That means he's pretty coward. If he's not coward, why he needs such a verse? God has not given you a spirit of cowardness, but of power, of love, of what, and even self-control. I tell you, brother, whatever, you may pick up the wrong person, but you should have a companion who is so close to you. With the older one, it's just like your son. With younger one, it's just like younger brother who learned from you of your person, of your teaching, of your commitment, eventually of your labor. The second person, Tychicus, did I pronounce it right? Tychicus, right? Who is he? He is a fellow slave. He said, faithful minister and fellow slave in the Lord. You know, they're very interesting. With everyone, Paul has some comments. The only one without any comments is Demas. We'll talk about later when we come to it. You know, brother, he said, Timothy, you are my son. Then he said, wait, I also have another one, Tychicus. He's a faithful minister, but he's my fellow slave. Fellow slave in the Lord. Then what? He said, he will make known the things concerning me, and he will comfort the heart of all the saints. You know, brother, many times we ignore this. We don't know how... Oh, I forgot the first 2 points, right? Okay, just forget about it. Yeah, I should start with A and B. I still read A, Being full of divine commitment, become minister of the church according to the stewardship given by God. I expound stewardship already. Being related to the church, he asked that the church would pray to open the door for the word that he might speak the mystery of Christ. Amen. You know, I tell you something as comforting. You know, I come back to Cleveland. For many years, I have not been in Cleveland. And, you know, the brother in other places may see me more than the saints in Cleveland. But sometimes I do meet some sense, especially Dave Bixler in the place. He spent a lot of time here in this property, and because he is elder, really care for the church, prophet. And he see me almost oftentimes say the same thing. Brother Titus, we brothers have prayed for you a lot. Oh, you do not know how precious that is. I mean, do you think Paul still needs somebody to pray for him? I mean, you are that powerful. You are that saturated with revelations, right? Yet Paul says, I want the church to pray for me so the door can be opened. I may speak the mystery of Christ. For God's economy, we may see what a struggle, what a fight that is. We should fight for God's economy. For that, we do need to pray. Especially pray for the servants of the Lord. Amen. Then we come to person. We cover Timothy, Tychicus. Then third person, Onesimus. He's an interesting person. Why? He's an uneducated slave. Do you understand what I say? And he must have a bad habit. He must be a thief. Why? He possibly steal something from his master, Philemon. Otherwise, why should he escape? He must have steal something like there is a famous novel called The Tragic World or something. Yeah. It's a French. Is that the? No. No, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what? He must be like that. He must have stolen something from master's home, tried to gamble or whatever. It must be a very lousy person. Escaped from the master, and then he got caught by the police, was put in prison with Paul. So Paul got him saved. So once after Paul got him saved, Paul says, now you go back to your master and repent. So Paul has good comments on him. Huh? Point one, he was a thief and escaped and was very rotten. That's why Paul has no burden for him. Number two, because we were put beside Paul, Paul was forced into some fellowship with him and get him saved. Paul three, Paul doesn't like him. That's why Paul tried to get rid of him and send him back to another city, to Philemon. Number four, Paul charged Philemon to discipline him, give him a hard time. Number five, Paul charged him to be a nice, behave properly. Amen. But isn't that what you would do? I'll tell you honestly, I don't like him to be beside me. I'm one of the greatest scholars at that moment. I know what is life. Here is a man, uneducated, rotten slave, right? And escape as a stealing, as a thief. Then get caught by police. That means he's not at all smart, stupid. If he's smart, how can he be caught? How can he be caught by police? He is a thief, running away, and stupid to the uttermost. But by God's government, he was put beside Paul. So Paul here said this. Huh? Point one. He was a slave who had escaped from the house of Philemon, an elder brother in Colossae. Number two, had been begotten by Paul in his bond, because in the prison he got saved by him, was referred to as his very heart. So when Paul says, I therefore labor, right, warning every man, admonishing every man, that I may present every man full grown in Christ to God. He talk how he that include a useless, worthless trash like Onesimus. Wouldn't you call him a piece of trash? Don't you have such a term? I'm sorry, he's a brother now, so I wouldn't say brother Onesimus is a trash, but I would say the Onesimus, before he was saved, isn't he a trash? But Paul used a term. Oh, he said, who is Onesimus? He's my very heart.
Amen.
Wouldn't you have tears? No. I would have tears when I read to this. Lord, what a godly person. What a exercise. What a proof of his apostleship. His apostleship was not proved by the power. His apostleship was proved by his heart of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord love him, I love him. Amen. Lord save him, I like to be with him. He is my very heart. Praise the Lord. I meant more than that. Had been sent back to Philemon by Paul. Then what? He was committed, Even before he goes, Lord, Paul told him, dear brother Onesimus, go have some fellowship. It's hard to believe this, right? I would never commit anything to a trashy brother. But anyway, he would say, brother Philemon, I commit you to make known to the saints in Colossae all the things concerning me. Go fellowship with them. How I'm still well in prison. I'm still in the Lord's presence in prison. I'm still with Christ in prison. I'm still preaching gospel in prison. I'm writing epistles in prison. Lord is with me in prison. Even everything become hard, the precious presence of Christ stand firm with me.
Amen.
Fellowship this with the church.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous? Yeah. Then the third person. Third person is what? Aristarchus. Oh. He's just very simple. I'm in prison. He's in prison with me. I don't know how he got it. I always have the kind of amazing thought. You know, when Paul's arrested, he's arrested by himself. Do you get my point? How could he have fellow prisoners? Two possibilities, right? One is he was unsafe. I got him saved. Right? Therefore, he become my fellow prisoner. Another possibility is the brother says, Paul, I really love you, and I love your ministry. I love you as a servant of the Lord. I love the Lord, therefore I love you. So when you are in prison, I like you to come into the prison to share with you, to serve you. Do you get my... Because I want to come in the prison to serve you, I become a fellow prisoner. Then another one, which is very interesting, Mark. Who is Mark? Mark is a cousin of Barnabas. So we got a three reputed men. Number one, Apostle Paul. Number two, Apostle Barnabas. Number three, young apostle, eventually become older apostle, Mark. This Mark was a professional troublemaker. You know, and useless. He's really useless. So useless, at the age of 50, Paul would tell Timothy, who is a young co-worker, right? Bring Mark with you. Brother, if today I write to a brother and tell the brother, bring Titus with you, or bring Tom Anathan with you, or bring Bob Brennan with you, wouldn't they be very bothered? Do you get my point or not? No kidding. I'm around 50. You just think about it, huh? He was a young lad when Lord Jesus... when Lord Jesus was ready to be crucified, right? That is supposed is 33 AD. Suppose he was 14, a young lad, your age. Am I right? Now, I think at this time, it's 60 plus. So how many years? About another 30. I think he's 60, later than maybe 64, suppose, huh? So be 30 more years, right? So he should be 44. At the age of 44, Paul wrote to Timothy, bring Mark with you. You can see how useless is that guy. A person at the age of 44 do not to be brought by somebody else. He know how to buy a ticket. He know how to get to the bus. He know how to travel. He knew how to take care of self. This always puzzled me. Some of the co-workers, you know, I tried to figure there's another Mark, but I couldn't substantiate. There's only one Mark there. So in a way, that shows something. Huh? Even someone, number one, we see a trashy brother, right? But regenerated, become Paul's heart. There's another co-worker. For some reason, he's not that useful. And not only he's not useful, he always causes problems. He caused problems to Jesus, right? When they come to arrest Jesus, he has a sackcloth over him, and naked. I don't know why he dressed like that. So he tried to arrest him. He threw the sackcloth away and naked ran away. What an ugly picture. I'm right? But I tell you, his virtue. His virtue is, I always fail, but I always come back. So he came back. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. So he must have come back and loved the Lord in Jerusalem. Then he went to Barnabas, with Barnabas to Antioch and loved the Lord in Antioch. So when Paul, when the Spirit says, send out Barnabas and Paul to do my work, Mark says, uncle, he told Barnabas, uncle, right? Can I go with you? He must be very lovely, wealthy, very wealthy. So Barnabas says, oh, yeah. And Paul says, yes, okay, it's a young brother. So they went together, right? And hardly look at the food, he says. He says, do you call this piece of steak? And Paul and Barnabas says, we don't eat steak. But they are not real meat. Yeah, they're not. They're rat's meat. Oh, don't think I'm joking. You never know what you eat, right? I don't know what is that. And Barnabas, maybe not rat meat, but there's just something. Paul, Mark says, are you sure you can drink this water? Paul began, go, 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 go. I says, are you sure you can drink it? And Barnabas, go, 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 go. I said, well, uncle, I got the headache, bone ache, nail ache, hair ache. My whole being is aching. I cannot be with you. Do you mind if I go back to Antioch? I enjoy my wealth. He's from a wealthy family. So he left. I tell you, no one like these kind of things happen when you are right in the field of fighting, right? So Paul didn't say anything. Barnabas didn't say anything. He went back, see a good brother, loves the Lord. So the second time they want to go again, Barnabas says, let's bring Mark again because he's different now. Now he doesn't care about meat. He doesn't care about water. He cares for Christ. Paul says, we can't risk again. He messed us up last time. Don't let him mess up today. Out of this, they two fight. So Barnabas and Paul separated. Then the one who writes Acts is Luke, who is with Paul all the time. That carries the major line of the Spirit work. In other words, Lord began to show how he works through Paul, and Barnabas disappeared. But the interesting part is this, huh? Barnabas is no longer mentioning in the book of Acts, but Barnabas was mentioned in Corinth. And here, Barnabas was mentioned again. So now, let's come to this Mark. Huh? Paul mentioned Barnabas. Paul mentioned, who is Mark? The cousin of Barnabas. Paul mentioned of Barnabas indicate that there was a good fellowship between Paul and Barnabas. Oh, that is a big story you have to learn. When we do not see the body, we're very selective and exclusive. When we really see the body, we become very open and ready to fellowship. They fight. They have argument. But they both are still in the church in Antioch. They both are still serving the Lord. Therefore what? They both still have good fellowship. Because they have good fellowship, so Paul says, Mark, okay, you don't know which Mark? Let me tell you, huh? The Barnabas cousin, Mark. Then what? Is it cousin or niece or nephew, whatever. Cousin. Barnabas cousin, Mark. Then he said, secondly, Paul's reference to Mark's relationship to Barnabas indicates Barnabas was reputed among the churches. The church know him. Do you get my point? Suppose I write you a letter to a church in Toledo. I said, what's your name? Joe. I said, Brother Joe, a cousin of Brother Herodidas. Do you know who is Herodidas? So you would begin to think, I must be a mental case. Just say Joe from Chicago, that's good enough. No need to talk about Joe, the cousin of Herodidas. Do you get my point or not? But if I would say, Joe, a cousin of Jim Risky, which is not true, it's not, he's not his cousin. Cousin means same generation, right? Or second generation? Same. So a grandniece, no, not niece, nephew, a grandnephew of Jim Risky. Do you know Jim Risky? He's right over here. So I tell you all, once you write the letter, you know, because you know Jim Risky. Therefore, when a letter written to you, now I introduce you Jew, the grandnephew of Jim Risky. No? That means what? You all know Jim Risky. Do you get my point or not? This shows what? Barnabas was well known among the churches Paul labored. I like this, brother. Usually we are too much a separatism in practicing separatism. Oh, you're come. And that's what happened to Brethren Movement. Brethren Movement produced, I heard, over 1,000 divisions. I heard they produced over 1,000 divisions. I even heard over 1,500 divisions, which I, of course, I never researched it, true or not. Separation upon, with whatever the reason come, they separate, and once they separate, they treat each other as enemies. Brother, we don't practice this. Look at how generous is Paul to Barnabas. How generous Barnabas to Paul. Because of Mark, they fight so strong. Eventually what? Eventually, Barnabas and Paul separated. Even that, they are still together carrying the New Testament ministry. Amen. Laboring for the profit of the churches. So, here, let me go to detail. This is Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. So you will wonder, how can he even become that spiritual? Number one, he followed the Lord as a young man and fled naked when the Lord was seized on the night of his betrayal. Number two, he attended Barnabas and Paul on their first journey, but withdrew and departed because of difficulties. Number three, he was the focus of a sharp contention between Paul and Barnabas, yet later became one of Paul's co-workers. Actually, he worked with different people. He worked with Paul. I'm pretty sure he also worked with Barnabas. And I'm pretty sure Paul also worked with Barnabas. Because the church in Corinth is definitely raised up by Paul. Yet Barnabas was well known to the church in Corinth. Right? This is why Paul defended, right? He says, only I and Barnabas do not have the right. That means they know Barnabas very, very well. Am I right? And then Paul seems to regard him with special care. I don't like this. Actually, I hate it. Tom, you know what I'm talking about? Nobody like someone who always needs special care at the age of about 50. Isn't he stupid? It's special care. To the extent he knows that. You know, for instance, I go to a place, I say, or where should I stay? The church says, oh, we don't know yet. We'll arrange it for you. I don't mind. Mark can handle it. Yeah, if he got there, he says, where do I live? The brother says, oh, we're thinking about it. He get offended. What? You think I'm not important? He's so delicate. Who wants a coworker that delicate? You know what I mean? I would kick him and say, get out of here. But Paul loves him. And he said, seems to regard him with special care and charge the saints in Colossians to receive him. When he come, oh, give him a special room with special jar of water. I know that. The first trip, the water's not right. He left. Don't condemn him. Now give him the good water. And a lot of fruit there because he's vegetarian or whatever. This is not true. He's not, may not be a vegetarian. But whatever. Take care of him specially. This is the church life. The one you don't like, care for him more. The one bothers you, care for him more. The one's your headache, care for him more. So Paul says, give him a special care. Eventually what? You remember, Paul told Timothy, bring Mark with you. So he brought Mark with him. And then when Timothy got there, both Paul and Timothy martyred together. So Mark has no place to go. But by Lord's mercy, Peter came, also as a prisoner, came to Rome. And Barnabas was very happy, right? I know Peter, where I was a young lad. He saw me run away naked. So he went to Peter, and he's educated. Peter's not. So Peter can use him to write the biography of Lord Jesus. That is, the gospel according to Mark. Do you love it? I'm sorry. I wish I could spend a whole meeting just on this marvelous person. I read it. On one hand, I say, Lord, I worship you. What a God. On the other hand, I say, Lord, the way you use people is way beyond what we can consider. Then at the same time, I appreciate Apostle Paul. I appreciate Apostle Barnabas. I appreciate these brothers who make an effort to keep him and raise him up. Brother, let us practice such a virtue in the church life. You never know how much that will become a blessing to the testimony of the Lord. Anytime you become very selective, brother, let me tell you, you will become excluded brethren. You end up as excluded brethren. They have good teachings, but eventually their receiving ability is gone. Remember when Brother Lee was ready to depart? In his last message, he said, "We have a lot to learn concerning our receiving." And if I'm not wrong, he said, "We have not been fair to those who left us and to those who are in denominations." If I'm right, he even said in this way, "I'm painfully regretting our repenting." Chinese says, 我很痛苦地懊悔. I'm painfully regretting or repenting. That's Brother Lee's last message on this matter. Brother, we got to learn these things. Look, they practice this. Paul practices. Many chances should be gone, right? When he ran away naked, he come back again. People says, "Where's your clothes? Get out of here." Then we went to with Barnabas and ran away from the first mission. And he should get out. Then Paul even caused the division was, a separation was developed out of him. Paul should say, "I'll never see this young man again." And he come back, he is a co-worker of, to become a co-worker of Paul. Barnabas should say, "Paul, you have no right to take him because he's mine." Do you get my point or not? And he's so delicate, I'll say, "I'll never send a co-worker like this. A co-worker, I mean, come to my age, I should think about what should he live, how should he eat. It's a receiving." Do you understand what I mean? I'm an old apostle. I have a whole thing, whole world before me. What a lousy brother is this? I'm not my coworker. No, brother. In this man, Paul's comments on this man teach us how to operate in the local church life. Then, Jesus, I think at that time, Jesus is a common name. Jesus is a common name. Huh? At that time, many brothers called Jesus. So after they become Christians, they always change their name. So this Jesus, who is called Justice. So after he got saved, people say, "Hey, Brother Jesus." He said, "Well, you better change. I better change my name. Call me Brother Justice." He and Mark were those alone of the circumcision who were a fellow worker of Paul. Paul says, among my many co-workers, only a very handful who are circumcised. In other words, who were Jew. Only few Jews were working with me. Justice is one, right? And the fellow co-worker of Paul for the kingdom of God, and he become a consolation of Paul. Paul says, "He comforts me. He comforts me. Tom, can I give a testimony?" "Yeah, one day. Yeah, come on. I forgot what the reason." I said, "Tom," I said a few words. He just leaned his head over like this. "You never know that never depart from me. Comfort." Do you get my point or not? You think a servant of the Lord, they can do everything. No. Paul says, "When I'm in all this struggling with some power that operates in might, I need comfort." Here's a brother, Justice. He comforted me. Then another brother, Epaphras, huh? He's different with a book in Philippians that Epaphroditus. There's two persons. It's interesting. Epaphras is a principle, shows a principle of Lord's spreading. For instance, Paul went to Ephesus, raised up the church in Ephesus. And in the church in Ephesus, Lord gained Epaphras. And Epaphras was gained, he began to become a servant of the Lord from Ephesus, preach gospel in that area. Do you realize? Actually, I question Paul has ever been in Colossae. Paul may never have been there. But I preface told him, you know, I got saved in Ephesus, which where you came, you raised up the church. After I got saved, I pursue Christ. I become a servant of the Lord. I'm going out. How about that, Joe? Huh? How about that, Brother He? One day, with my 165 IQ, I'm going to go to another city, raise up the church. This is his preface. He's a local full-timer raised up by Christ, yet began to operate among many churches. He must have raised up some churches in that Asia, in Asia Minor or something, in Asia. How do you call that area? Asia Minor. Huh? So he was Paul's number one. Huh? He's from Colossae. He was Paul's beloved fellow slave, faithful minister of Christ. Point one, fellow slave. Point two, faithful minister. And point one, fellow slave. Point two, faithful minister. Point three, he was a pattern to the saints in Colossae. So if you want the Lord to send you out, you got to be a pattern first. If you don't properly operate in your localities, don't pray that the Lord will send you away. Got to be healthy in the local church you are in. Then point four, he always struggled on behalf of saints of Colossae. These are in the verses. Then he hopes that the saints in Colossae might stand mature. You see, he struggles the same as Paul now. I struggle for the saints I serve so that they can be mature. Then what? The saints can be full assured in the will of God. So eventually, Paul testified of him and that his labor, that he labored much for the churches. I like a preface. Do you get my point or not? Suppose, brother, you are the preface from Toronto. You know you're just a young man, right? 10 years later, you will be 30. Now, at the age of 30, Lord send you out to another city, then to another city, then to another city. Raise up a church, raise up another church, raise up another church. Yet you learn from him. You are for God's will. Your burden, saints may be mature. You are living, you become a pattern of the saints in Toronto. Amen. How good that is. And here, among Paul's co-worker, there is such a precious brother. Another one, Luke, the beloved physician of Paul. Paul was old, so Luke pick up the burden. I'd like to be with you. Take care of your health. Where I take care of your health, I write the Acts. Where have you been? What did you do? That's why there's a gospel according to Paul, which is Luke, right? Then there's also the Acts, which was also written by Luke. Do you get my point or not? So Paul called him a beloved physician. The only one without comments, Demas. The only one. You know, take me a while to figure out why. Paul seems to know all the full-timers very clear. Actually, I put Demas with Luke at the same points. Then the brother pointed to me and said, no, there are two persons. It got to be 2 points. Then I said, why don't you write something about Demas? What is he? I remember, eventually Paul says, Demas loves the present world and depart from me. I put it together. I figure out Demas was caring for Paul. This is my guessing. Caring for Paul practically. In other words, Paul was cared because Luke and Demas mentioned together. His physical health, taking care of Luke. His practical need, you know what I mean? Take care of by Demas. And I warn you full-timers, whosoever as a full-timer like to be involved in practical matters, eventually you will depart from the apostle and love the present world. Because eventually nothing developed. You get my point or not? Do you understand what I say? You don't? Okay. Let me go this way. Huh? Here's Apostle Paul, right? Here, the Lord is here. Care for him. With him, there are many co-workers, right? Co-workers. Then, with his physical need, Luke care for his health. And Demas care for his practical need. Now, again, I believe, no Bible base. It's purely my guess. I believe it's right. So, he's one minister to Paul okay, now it's time for your food. Now, he understands Paul possible, what he likes, what he doesn't like, how he, you know, an old servant of the Lord need this kind of service to relieve them. So that they will not be overly burdened with unnecessary things. So eventually Paul says, the beloved doctor, physician, look, and Demas. Do you get my point? This is based on this. And Demas. This is how I figured it out. But finally, all the other coworkers, I don't know what's happened, seems okay, right? But there's a clear statement. Demas loves the present world and depart from me. That is 2 Timothy. Why? Because he always serving Paul with practical things alone. Never develop spiritually. Now you understand? Do you understand or not? Application is hard. The application is, but you are most tempted, always care for practical things and not pursue Christ. Everyone likes to be important. And the most easy way to be important is to be occupied with practical matters. From morning till evening, you got phone calls. Oh, this has happened. Oh, that has happened. Oh, I will do this. Oh, need to do. But you never realize, actually, you are consuming yourself. Do you get it or not? So I say a word to you, full-timers. You have to be practical. Because without practicality, then how can the church life go on? But also realize, don't become Demas. So come to Demas, Paul has no comments. Then he also write a note to a full-timer, local full-timer, that Archippus. Now he was possible Philemon's son. In other words, he may have received some training from Paul when Paul was in Ephesus. However, he served in Colossae. Now he ministered in the church in Colossae. So Paul charged him, take heed of the ministry which God has given to him. Take heed of ministry which he received in the Lord that he might fulfill his ministry. You know, brother, a young brother like what? Like Archippus, right? He has a ministry. I'm very happy. Many brothers could have ministries. If Archippus could have, we all could have. Then what? When you have a ministry, fulfill your ministry. Be faithful to your ministry. Your ministry is just part, for instance, here is a grand New Testament ministry, right? And now, in this age, the focal very much is with the riches of Brother Nee or Brother Lee, very much. And you just occupy that little. But don't abase yourself. This is nothing. Even that very little, I like to fulfill my ministry. Oh, what a blessing. Okay, now the last part. Can we read together? Being related. Paul charged the saints in Colossae to also read the epistle from Laodicea. Isn't that good? He said, oh, Colossae, pray for me. Oh, Colossae, fellowship with other churches. Don't be isolated by yourself as a local church alone. You need to be with other local churches, especially the local churches close by you. Laodicea and Colossae are very, very close, nearby one another, especially close by you. Well, with our time, we should stop.